What if the most transformative moments of your life could only happen when the world is asleep? There's a hadith that describes something extraordinary. In the final third of every night, when darkness is deepest and silence most complete, Allah descends to the nearest heaven. He asks, "Who is calling upon me that I may answer him? Who is asking of me that I may give him? Who is seeking my forgiveness that I may forgive him?" This continues until dawn breaks. These early hours, when your heart hasn't yet been cluttered by the day's noise, hold a power most of us never tap into. This isn't just poetic imagery, it's an invitation to spiritual transformation that begins in life's quietest moments, when you're most honest with yourself and most open to change. Here's a piercing truth. If you want to know what position you hold in Allah's eyes, look at what place you give Him in your heart. This reciprocal relationship forms the foundation of tazkiyah, the purification and growth of the self. We obsess over social media rankings, professional status, bank balances, but the Quran cuts through that noise. Successful indeed is the one who purifies his whole self. This isn't about overnight transformation. Even the Quran was revealed gradually over 23 years. Faith is a state of becoming, not being. What matters isn't where you are now, it's the direction you're facing. Are you moving toward Allah or away from Him? You can't stand with one foot in this world and another in the next. That split stance will tear you apart. The journey begins with a simple choice. Make paradise your singular focus, then invest everything in reaching it. On Judgment Day, even Shaitan will disown you. I invited you and you responded, so don't blame me, blame yourselves. No organization, teacher, or leader can fulfill your spiritual obligations. The Quran states, "No bearer of burdens shall be made to bear another's burden." If someone else does your work, they get the reward. You get nothing. But here's the empowering truth. Allah has equipped you with everything you need. True self-confidence comes from understanding that the most just and most merciful would never assign you a task without giving you the tools to complete it. Those tools require activation. Prayer without effort is just words floating into the void. You can't pray for a harvest while refusing to plant seeds. Allah promises, "Those who strive hard in our cause, we shall most certainly guide them onto paths that lead unto us." Notice the order. First you strive, then guidance comes. The Quran identifies weakness of will as humanity's fundamental flaw. Sustained determination, irada, separates wishful thinking from actual transformation. Remember me, and I shall remember you. Five words containing an entire spiritual philosophy. True dhikr isn't just repeating subhanallah while your mind wanders. It means any and every particular moment when you are thinking, saying, or doing things which Allah likes. Even earning a living becomes worship when done with awareness of Allah. The heart, your spiritual center, determines everything. A heart alive with remembrance is the key to salvation. One devoid of it is spiritually dead. Develop four states of consciousness. I am in Allah's presence, He is watching me. Everything I have has been given to me by Allah. Nothing can happen without His permission. I am going to return to Allah one day, and that day could be today. Prayer should be the ultimate form of remembrance, engaging your entire being. Yet how many pray mechanically, bodies going through motions while minds plan dinner? To truly benefit, organize your day around prayer times, not the other way around. Pray punctually. Understand what you're reciting. View prayer as spiritual refreshment, not obligation. You're conversing with the Creator of the universe. Why rush that? Every day in prayer, you ask Allah to guide you to the straight way. The answer comes through ittisam billah, holding firmly onto Allah, which requires three essential characteristics. First, genuine gratitude for everything. Not performative posts, but deep recognition that not even a leaf falls without Allah's knowledge. Your tongue should remain moist with continuous praise, because Allah promises, "If you are grateful, I will surely give you more." Second, exclusive worship with wholehearted submission. You can't compartmentalize your heart, dedicating one piece to Allah and another to career or status. When everything is done for Allah's sake, earning money becomes spiritual, raising children becomes worship, and even sleep becomes devotion. Third, love Allah more than anything else. This isn't abstract theology. It's an overpowering force that moves you to act willingly. Prayer becomes your barometer. Do you look forward to it or dread it? The highest worship, ihsan, comes from constant awareness that you worship Allah as though seeing Him. This path requires eliminating kib, pride, and nifaq, hypocrisy. The Prophet warned that no one with even a grain of pride will enter paradise. Pride means disdaining truth and belittling others. Hypocrisy means showing off. Both destroy spiritual achievements instantly. The Quran demands complete surrender, but how do you actually live that? Follow Muhammad's example. As Aisha said, his conduct was nothing but the Quran. He didn't just deliver a message, he created a new society based on Quranic teachings. His mission extended beyond words. Conveying the message, instructing in scripture, teaching wisdom, training in self-purification, establishing justice, and witnessing. The most outstanding feature of his life was constant dedication to da'wah, inviting humanity to submit to their creator. This represents his essential sunnah, far beyond the minor practices we often obsess over. Muslims today, especially in Western societies, must live in cultures fundamentally opposed to Islamic values. The Prophet's example of maintaining distinct identity in an alien environment becomes our roadmap. Beyond following his example lies the dimension of generosity. Allah promises that whatever we give in His way returns multiplied. What we spend on ourselves is temporary, while what we spend for Allah is eternal investment. The Prophet taught that a generous person is close to Allah, paradise, and people, but far from hell. Never dismiss any charity as too small. Even meeting fellow Muslims with a smile counts as sadaqah. Once you realize everything belongs to Allah and your rewards in the Akhirah depend on your spending in this life, giving becomes pleasure rather than burden. The Quran explains humanity's purpose: to live in surrender and worship to Allah alone. Your ultimate destiny lies in the Akhirah, where everyone will be judged fairly, nothing wronged, even by an atom's weight. Death is life's only certainty. Every soul will taste death. Yet we forget our meeting with our Lord. The Prophet advised remembering death often to maintain perspective. The paradox? While we should fear Judgment Day, we should also eagerly anticipate meeting Allah. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet with him. No one will be saved by deeds alone. Even the Prophet acknowledged needing Allah's mercy. But His mercy requires pure actions that make us deserving of His rahmah. Regular seeking of forgiveness keeps hearts pure. No matter how great our misdeeds, Allah's pardon is greater. Your preparation to meet Allah must be your ultimate goal. This decision sets your life's course, to live according to the Quran as exemplified by Muhammad. The knowledge that Allah is pleased with you will be the climax of your life's mission, attained when He responds, "O soul at peace, return unto your Lord, well-pleased, well-pleasing, enter among my servants, enter my paradise." Your body will return to dust, your wealth will be distributed, your status will be forgotten, but your soul, purified through remembrance, strengthened through struggle, polished through service, will stand before its Creator.